Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go. Hello, and welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast that fiercely empowers women to step into command presence, own their role, and lead like the strong, capable women that they are. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today I'm joined by a woman who's bringing great value into the industry of sales. She is not afraid to share real talk about what it takes to be a successful woman in business, especially in the realm of sales. If you've ever felt like you've had to prove yourself twice as hard as anybody else, this episode is definitely for you around sales, because we all know we don't like sales, right? But this powerhouse absolutely does. So I'd like to introduce my guest. My guest is Julie Thomas. And Julie is the owner of Value Selling, right? She, amazing powerhouse. She was a customer of Value Selling. She did Train the Trainer with Value Selling. She became a certified partner, became friends with the founder. And she's going to tell us so much more about that. Look, she has clients right now from Google, Adobe, Plus Software, Fleet clients. Oh, you know, so many of the top industry leaders out in the world that you know that you have used, right? These are her clients and they're killing it out in the world. She's award-winning. She has American Business Awards, both in podcasting as well as her book on value selling. So she is definitely going to be the superhero that I'm looking up to today. So why is she a superhero? Look, she's a powerhouse. I don't know about you, but I love good, strong, powerhouse women. She's no nonsense, especially when it comes to sales. Look, she's just not out there, you know, selling to others. She's teaching sales to those of us who, come on, you know, most of us hate it. And she's teaching us how to love it, teaching us how to do something different. And I am so excited to have her here with us. So how did I get to know Julie? Let me just tell you a quick little story. Look, I met her networking, right? I was at a networking event with a membership program that I belong to, and I just loved her energy. You know, like I've said in my previous podcasts, is like, I'm a no-nonsense kind of gal. I'll just tell you like it is. And so is Julie. And I just love women who are like that. She has an attitude about business that is forward moving all the time. You know, she just is really... she could be the best friend, but she'll tell you when you're not doing it right. She will stand strong in that as well. Look, she's been working with her company, Value Selling, and created a version for those of us who are out in the smaller entrepreneur space called Growist. I've masterminded with her. I have traveled with her. Like, just have had an amazing time. And I am so excited to have Julie on our show today. So Julie, I am so excited. Welcome to our show.
Thanks, Kimberly. It's awesome to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity to meet your audience and spend some time talking with you.
Yeah, they're gonna walk away with some key tools around sales today, right?
I hope so. Let's go.
Okay. So first off, Julie, why don't you share with us for a quick moment about, you know, how it is that you got into this journey?
You know, it's interesting. As I mentioned to you earlier, I'm a little bit of what I would call an accidental entrepreneur. I had a job in corporate sales. I worked in technology sales and was going through my career progressing when I was introduced to a sales training program. The founder of the company came into our company and trained me, called Value Selling. And at the time, this is going to sound corny, but it's really the truth. It changed my life. It was the first training program that I had gone through that I thought, wow, I can do this because it's practical. I've been through a lot of training programs where, like, it was, you know, fill out this form or do this. Well, I've never made a sale because I had good paperwork. This was all about how to better communicate and have deeper, more deliberate, intentional conversations. So it really resonated with me. Fast forward, I was promoted very quickly after becoming a high performer, and then promoted again and was one of the youngest vice presidents in my company, a vice president of sales. And I became a disciple of value selling. I ultimately was promoted into a sales training role for the organization. We were going to hire about 500 new hires over the next couple of years. And they wanted somebody who had managed teams to lead that onboarding initiative for all those people. So I became certified in value selling at that time and was working for that corporation in the technology space. Nice. Lo and behold, it became time for me to leave that corporation. I was given an opportunity to either relocate or sever from the company. And I chose the severance because my husband and I weren't going to leave Southern California, which is where we were living at the time. And so what was I going to do? I approached the founder of Value Selling and said, okay, I'm already certified to be a trainer. Let me just come work for you.
Nice.
He said, I have a better idea. And at the time, he was in his mid-60s, and his goal was to play more golf. And so he was trying to find his exit strategy and landed on me. And my husband and I did a little bit of soul searching, and lo and behold, we decided, let's go for it. So we put a plan in place and acquired the company from him. I've been running it ever since. That was 2003.
Oh my goodness.
Running the business ever since with my husband's support, but my husband's not involved in the business. After 4 years, completed that purchase. And we were off to the races. So value selling framework is our core program. And we work with business-to-business sales organizations that are trying to improve sales productivity and results. And sales is hard.
Yeah.
Sales is hard. Even for the best companies, sales is hard. And that's what we've been doing. And we do it through training and software and consulting services and work with some of the biggest, most well-known brands around the globe.
Well, I think that's amazing that if you really stop and think about it for just a quick minute is that, you know, you were a customer of the company. And then you dug in a little bit more so that you could be really good at the company that you were working with through their product. And then to get to the point where now you took over and you bought and own this business, especially in a male dominant space, because this really is, sales is really a male dominant space. You know, how is it for you? Because first off, over 20 years, Julie, I just want to congratulate you on that because that's amazing. And, you know, but how have you been able to navigate as a strong woman in sales in this male dominant space?
So it's kind of interesting. I never really thought of it that way until one day it kind of dawned on me, hey, all my customers are men. Most of my employees are men. I guess maybe I am an anomaly. In my space, there is not another competitor that has a female CEO in the top 10 companies that we compete against. We are clearly a little bit of a unicorn in our little space. So I think part of it, Kimberly, is I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't really bifurcate the world into male and female and all of that. I just didn't think of it. It was what it was. But I think being a woman in a male-dominated space and getting a seat at that table has been helpful for me because I don't have the ego that maybe some of my male counterparts have. Mm-hmm. I think women are naturally better often at the relationship side of things and focusing on the customer and their needs as opposed to focusing on, you know, what I need in business. And because I'm focused on the customer, I'm in a better position to serve them, add value to them, and ultimately win a customer for life. It's just kind of probably my own naivety and not really even understanding that's what was going on half the time.
You know, I think I'm just like you. For the first 20 years, like, I didn't realize it was an issue. Right? You just get in there, you put your head down, you go to work, you just get it done. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, Kimberly, you realize you're in a male dominant space. I'm like, well, yeah, like, I'm surrounded by men. But at the same time, like, it was just given, and just, you just get in there and put your head down.
It's been my whole career. I mean, even starting out in sales, I don't know, maybe 20% of the sales reps were female. When I first became a first line manager, I think there were 12 first line managers across the US, and two of us were women. And then the other one went on a maternity leave. So half the time I was the only woman at a management or leadership meeting. Became a regional vice president again. I know I was the only one. I mean, and it just was what it was. I never thought about it other than I knew I was just as capable as them. But I had to work harder, I think, sometimes to prove myself.
Yeah, I think that's a key point, is that a lot of times women in male dominant spaces, we do have to work a little bit harder.
We have to work a little bit harder. And there were points in my career where I was single. So I was willing to do things that maybe other people weren't. I relocated 3 or 4 times early in my career. I was willing to, we need somebody in Chicago, I'll go. We need somebody here, I'll go. So I relocated to take advantage of opportunities that I don't think had as much to do with my gender, but it did have, I wasn't married, so I didn't have, you know, another career or anybody else to take into account.
But you were open to taking on those opportunities.
Absolutely. I welcomed them with open arms.
Yeah.
You know, I'd load up my car and off I'd go.
So was there a point, like a moment that stands out for you where you just knew, like, kind of like, I belong in this space, I belong in this room?
I think there's a couple of places that happened. First, in my corporate career, I think it happened, there was a sales meeting that we were doing, and I won a number of awards and was recognized as a top performer in a number of different categories. And I had some of my friends like almost joking with me, like, oh, there's Julie going up to the stage again to pick up another, you know, $500 check and a little plaque. I don't know why people thought we all wanted plaques, but we had plaques. they ended up in a landfill somewhere along one of my moves. But, so I think that was at the corporate level. But so the second place when I recognized that I had a seat at the table was when I came into my own company. And, you know, at first I didn't know what I didn't know. I knew how to sell and I knew the product well, because I'd been a customer and using it, as you had mentioned, but I didn't know marketing. I didn't know legal contracts. Somebody else did that when I worked for a corporation. I didn't know how to protect IP. I mean, I knew how to manage people, but I didn't know how to put HR process in place. I just followed processes that somebody else put in place when I worked for a corporation. So it became really humbling to know what I didn't know and figure all that out early on. But I think I really felt like I had a seat at the table at a couple of industry events when I was put on panels. Again, the only woman on a panel. And I could contribute. As a matter of fact, not only could I contribute, I could contribute valuable insight, point of view, that some of the other people didn't have. And it really gave me a level of confidence. Because I don't know about you, Kimberly, every once in a while that imposter syndrome comes in and I'm like, oh, is this going to be the day they're going to figure out? I don't.
I know that sneaky little bugger just pops right in every now and again.
And is this going to be the day that this, is this going to be the client that this methodology doesn't work for?
Yeah.
And so far in 22 years, we haven't found that scenario. So I'm feeling pretty
Yay! So tell me, you know, what are some of the challenges that you have your bigger clients, you know, what is some of the challenges or the pain points that they have right now?
So clients come to us when they have a business-to-business direct sales team, and they are not optimizing their selling results. And that could be a result of a couple of things. Let's face it. Companies have a lot of competitive options ahead of them. And therefore, it's very difficult sometimes for a client to differentiate what they sell and add value to hold a premium price. So they come to us for that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's difficult for the customer to get to the right buyer, or they're not selling the breadth of the product line. But they come to us to optimize their sales productivity and results, and we give them skills, tools, and a process approach to how they can better create, qualify, and advance those opportunities mm-hmm. and compete on value, not price.
Okay.
And we hear, you know, it's all different types of challenges from clients, but the biggest one from a VP of sales is, I'm not going to make my number. And if I don't make my number, guess what? I get fired.
Right.
Especially right. if they're a publicly held company.
Absolutely. So, okay. So let's break this down, because the reality is those aren't necessarily the people listening to this podcast. What do you do for the small business entrepreneur, the small businesswoman who's working her way into that C-suite space?
So, you know, it's that's a great question, Kimberly. So in the past year, I took all of the programs that we sell to corporations and turned it into a program that is targeted to the solopreneur or the individual business person who might be a great virtual assistant, but is also the chief revenue officer for her own business, that she's got to go out and find customers and close them. And guess what? Entrepreneurs have likely never gone through any sales training. They're great subject matter or discipline experts in their space, but they're not great at creating opportunities to sell their stuff. And many, especially women, feel like sales is a four-letter word, and it's very uncomfortable for them because they have come to the conclusion that the stereotypical, slick, sleazy, pushy, used car salesman is what they have to be a successful salesperson. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, it's not in our DNA. So no. I think that's huge. And I know that I'm I use Growist, your newer entrepreneur space, because I was never taught sales. You know, I've been in business for 33 years and I still don't know sales very well. You know, I'm still learning that. Pardon me. And so, I have this as a product. I love your book. And so I got real excited, as you know, my husband, both of us got real excited when you launched this program for entrepreneurs and, you know, small businesses. So I know that I'm going to tell you here more at the more, like, you can go to valueselling.com, /growist/home, and you can learn more about that as the small business entrepreneur. And I think that all of us need to get in on that, because sales is, you know, you can look at sales as a four-letter word, but you can look at it as L-O-V-E. Right? Well, it's shift that mindset.
Absolutely. Selling is just solving real problems that your customers or potential customers have with your offering.
Yeah.
So it's not pushing your offering, which is what many people feel like I have to tell you all about my product and push it on you,
yeah.
as opposed to creating pull for your product. So, yeah. You know, you and Lawrence are in the business you're in because you both have expertise in history, in security, mm-hmm. and all of that. And so you can either show up and tell people about how unique your security offering is in that space, or you can go in and say, tell me about how you manage risk in your facilities.
Absolutely.
And ask questions to uncover opportunities and create them together, as opposed to just push your solution on somebody. And that's really what we have broken down in the Growist solution. And plus, it includes all kinds of job aids and tools and checklists. How do I find the right customer? How do I handle objections? How do I renew them? That whole life cycle of customer management.
Yes, yes. And so many key tools there. So if you're listening and you want to learn more about it, make sure that you connect at valueselling.com/Growist/home. So that's a key thing. Okay, so let me ask you some rapid fire questions. All right, some of these are fun. Heels or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Sneakers.
I'm done with heels. I'm done with heels. And I know I'm talking to a heels girl, but I'm done with them. I'm done with them.
Yeah, I have my sneaker moments too. Don't you worry. Okay, yeah. How about, all right, what's your go-to lazy dinner?
My go-to lazy dinner is probably like a snack charcuterie type thing. Like just a couple slices of ham or turkey, some cheese, and some crackers. I can't do that when my meat and potatoes husband is around, but that would fill me up just fine.
Got it. I love it. Let's see. Favorite power move before a big meeting?
Probably deep breath, reapply lipstick, and just a few minutes of meditation and deep breathing to center myself and stay focused.
Like it. I like it. Big, deep breath. Get your head in the game.
Yeah. And the lipstick. We can't forget the lipstick.
Get the lipstick on. The good power lipstick.
Got it.
What advice would you give women today who want to break into your industry and thrive? If they're looking to thrive in sales, what advice could you give them?
Well, I'd say the first thing I would tell them to do is find a methodology or a process that you can execute on. Value selling framework was that process for me. And then figure out what you're selling and why someone would buy. Focus on the buyer. One way to define sales is I'm just facilitating buying. And if you focus on the buyer, know your customer, know the problems that you solve and the impact you can have, that's what makes for a powerful sales professional.
Nice. I love that. I think if you really take that and listen to it over, you know, several times, you'll find the key pieces in that, because that is great advice, Julie. I appreciate that. Anything else that you'd like to share?
Just, I think as these listeners listen to this, all of us come to our businesses with certain strengths and certain biases in terms of what we're good at and what we're not good at. Mm-hmm. And my experience has been, especially working with a group of entrepreneurs, both men and women in our sales training program, is that we all have biases about selling. Some of us think it's uncomfortable. Some of us don't like it because we don't know how to do it, but we know we have to do it. And find a way to approach it from a neutral point of view. And the best salespeople are the people that truly believe that their products and services make a positive difference for their customers.
I love that.
And focus on that outcome.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, Julie, I do just want to say thank you so much for joining me today, glitches and all, and, you know, just, you know, sharing your wisdom, imparting this sales. You know, I think that like you said, is like anybody can sell if they really want to. There's tools out there like your program, There's tools out there to teach us how to sell. And we need to get past that love-hate relationship with, I want the money, but I can't sell, and shift that to, I love to sell, that four-letter word instead. And you know, I know that you've said this before, and, you know, selling isn't telling. It's not telling people what they need from you. It's really investing the time in that person to find out what it is that they need that you can offer them. And I think that's huge. You know, when we can stop and go, this has to be more about what the customer needs, and really listening and be, you know, in my world, be an investigator with those people to find out exactly what it is that they want. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And a huge value. Look, if you want to connect with Julie, I've already told you, go to valueselling.com/growist/home so you can learn about the entrepreneur version of value selling. She's got some great things on YouTube as well. They have a podcast that you want to get on and listen to that podcast. Of course, you can connect with Julie on Facebook and in LinkedIn. Just go find Julie Thomas and connect with her. And, you know, give a shout out. If you say, hey, I heard you on Kimberly's podcast, she'll know. Look, we are super women in heels and sneakers sometimes, right? Like we are the women out there, you know, feet on the ground doing the work and helping to pave the way for women for the future. So make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, give us a review. You know, I could mention you in future episodes. You never know. And then join us for our next episode where we're going to be sharing with another powerhouse woman. And I don't want to give it away. So just come and join us on our next episode. So thank you so much, Julie, for joining us. I'm so glad to have you as part of my Superheroes in Heels tribe. So have a wonderful day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks. Thank you, Kimberly. Love the opportunity.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.